This is CliffCentral.com.
It's the weekend, baby!
Yep, and it's spring day. Yeah. How do you say it here?
Yes.
I love how that's become a thing. Like, I find myself saying it. Oi, oh. Jesus. All right, next time you move that thing around, just warn me beforehand. I switch your mic on and then that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. The yas thing. I find myself talking to people instead of saying, yeah. I go, yas, when I'm really happy to be on the right side of something.
Oh, yeah.
Yas. All right, so it's spring day, which would be a lot less exciting if it wasn't such a beautiful day outside. It really is. It's beautiful. As I drove in, I saw Amanda sitting in the boot of her car. In the boot of her car. And I said to her, Amanda, what the hell are you doing? She said she was putting on her shoes. Is that right?
That is true, because I can't drive in, like, heels, and I'm wearing heel boots, so I was wearing flip-flops.
This is so suspicious.
So I had to put my shoes on quick.
So Amanda looks very Zhuge Kabouge this morning. She's wearing, like, this tasseled leather jacket, these high-heeled boots, these skinny toit pants, and I'm convinced she's not going home after this.
Where are you going, Amanda?
I need to go home, but I don't know if I'm going home.
What's the story?
No, I just have a few, like, arrangements.
Tell us more.
Ooh.
I'm going out with a friend for lunch. And then I'm going on, like, a girls' night out.
Oh, okay. Is this the one that you were telling us about?
Like, yes.
This is one of your best friends who's
just got divorced. Yeah.
See, these days, who cares about an engagement party? These days, you want to go to a divorce party! Right? Way more fun.
I don't know how healthy those are.
Have you ever met a woman who's just got divorced and won in the court? Like a lot of money? They're the happiest women you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah. They're also likely to be on the prowl.
Yo, I need to be friends with them.
They are ready to pounce on anything that they like.
If I compare the smile, I can do this with two people who I know have been through both situations. If I compare the smile and the amount of joy and happiness of the two girls I'm thinking about on the day of their wedding, which I was at, and the day of their divorce, they were way happier. And I'm not trying to be an unromantic, nasty, anti-marriage or any. You know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with marriage, and I like it, I support it, and I love weddings. But my God, a woman who's just got divorced is 20 times happier than a woman who's just got married. The stress of marriage is huge. The relief of divorce is even bigger. Am I right?
None of us in here would know.
Yeah.
Do you know any of your friends who are divorced?
Mm-mm.
No, I'm not at that stage yet.
All the people that I know who are divorced are the guys.
And are they happy?
Yeah, there's a sense of relief for being able to get out of a situation. But I mean, guys don't, as far as I know, that you don't do divorce parties, do you?
Nah, for us it's like, oh, I escaped. Got out with my life. But it is, I mean, it's a complicated thing. Like, divorce is, it can be very, very stressful. And I suppose just the process of going through it, because you really put everything out there, especially if it's a contested divorce and there's a lot to argue about and fight about.
Mm.
You know, in the old days, they used to assign blame in a divorce.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on?
They would say it's the wife's fault because she, you know, couldn't sexually satisfy him, or it's the husband's fault because he cheated, or there had to be blame once upon a time. It was usually the poor woman who didn't, you know, I mean, imagine 1300 or so, some girl and some guy want to get divorced. I mean, in those days, the only person who could really grant it was the Pope.
Oof.
And the Pope would say, well, why is this marriage not working? Because a marriage was sealed by God, right? So you have to break it up with something holy. What happened here? And they used to make up stories about she's a witch. They'd burn her.
Oh, those stories still continue now in divorces.
I'm telling you.
Witch.
She's a witch. She never gave me any sexual satisfaction. We never consummated the marriage. Then you could annul a marriage just on the grounds of it not being consummated.
An annulment means it's totally wiped off, like legally.
An annulment means it never even happened. So you're not even a divorcee.
I never really understand what the benefit of it is, because your friend...
Benefit of annulment?
Yeah, like your friends know.
Well,
people know you got married.
See, people used to be superstitious a lot more than they are today. So it used to bother them that God knew. You know, that was enough for them.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how people have been. So people are tremendously complicated things, you know. And we like to first of all make everything about us, and then we like to make it about our problems and force everyone else to be a part of our problems. That's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And so marriages and divorces are very public occasions, because really it started off from a good place where the community would be there to witness what was going on, so that you knew there was a bond between these two people.
Mm.
You know, so that other people respected that bond. You didn't have other men trying to get your wife. You didn't have other women trying to get your husband. People would respect it. It was from that point of view, it made a lot of sense. And then people just became real douchebags. And somewhere along the way, it became like, I got to do this in front of everybody else because it's my day. It's all about me.
Mm.
And it was attention seeking. And I'm going to wear a big dress, and I'm going to have a big cake. Mm. And it became complicated. And then in order to wipe that kind of, oh, this never happened, and pretend that they just stepped over it like a turd in a passage, they'd say, we want an annulment. But anyway, good for her. A divorce party. That's what's happening.
That's what's happening.
All right. Well, I'm very excited. It's the first day of spring. Anybody got any plans for the weekend besides Amanda? Mubs, Sia, what's happening?
Hang on.
By the way, are we missing Ben at all? Be honest.
Hey.
Are we missing him at all?
He WhatsApped us yesterday.
Did he?
He sent us pictures of lizards.
Oh,
that's why. Yes, that's why. Goodness. I don't care. That's why I didn't read his message.
Wow, yeah. He sent a picture of this monster lizard that just happened I don't know, the beach where he was chilling.
Yeah, wherever that place is, I'm not going there ever. That's right out of my list.
But to answer your question, it's a no from me. I don't miss Ben.
Oh, okay. It's a no from you that you don't miss him. Okay. Sia?
I'll say I miss Ben.
Yeah, all right. Amanda?
Same goes.
Yeah, no, I miss Ben.
Did he communicate with you over the last few days?
He did tell me about his drone only yesterday in the
morning. Oh, no. What's happened with his drone? He just had it repaired and it cost like $8,000.
Yeah, apparently it's not working.
Oh, for God's
the
sake.
Software or something. So he said to me that all he could do was drink heavily. So I said, that's not a problem all the time. So
he said drink heavily. Those were his words.
He even used drink and heavily in one sentence. And that's not like Ben. So he must be really upset. And he said he just wants to cry.
Oh, that's horrible. Very depressing.
Yeah, I know.
He's on a tropical island and he's depressed about this drone is just it's a bottomless pit of money. Huh? Let me tell you something. Don't buy a drone.
Oh.
I was so close to buying one of those little Spark, DJI Spark drones, which is fantastic. A friend of mine brought it to my house over the weekend. An amazing thing.
But I'm pretty certain he did take it with on this.
He did, but here's the deal.
Because those pictures look ridiculous. Like, looks like a holiday something.
Yeah, he did have his drone with him, but it's broken for whatever reason. Now, what I was going to say is, I was about to buy this thing, and I thought, hang on a second. Mm. All right, so it'll cost me like $11,000, which is a lot of money for a toy. It's a lot of money.
Mm. Yeah.
And it could break, and I might have to repair it, and I might have to replace parts. And what if I fly it into a tree like Ben has? What if it gets stuck somewhere? Endless things could happen. And then it costs you more and more and more. By the end of the year, if you're a huge enthusiast, let's say I don't just forget about it and leave it in a box, because that also happens. How many things have you bought in your life? You thought, this is the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
And then within 3 months, it's in a box in the cupboard.
Mm.
You never look at it again. Now, if you could justify spending $11,000 and leaving it in a box in the cupboard, I can't. To me, that's not on.
But I mean, he specifically bought it for the purposes of work.
Yeah, I know.
So
and a lot of play, though.
Yeah, no, sure, sure, definitely play. But you know, he's looking to expand his services.
We need to find him a rich benefactor. If he's going to take up this career as a hobby, this career as a career, you know, this idea of drone photography and drone film, because it's an interesting world, and it's certainly a space where a lot of people are going to make a lot of money. But Ben needs a benefactor.
Oh, rich Ben effector.
What he needs is an investor, someone to cover these costs for him, because these are outrageous costs.
Oh, well, you don't get it.
I don't.
Ben effector.
Effector.
Oh.
Oh, wow, that one really went.
Nobody gives a shit.
All right. Anyway, so happy it's spring. I love September, October, November, December. I am about to be the most wonderful, happy, bubbly, delightful person you've ever met in your life. The next 4 months, I can guarantee it's going to take a lot to get me down.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. This my shit. How does it go?
This my shit. All the company. Ain't no hollaback girl.
I'll tell you who's not necessarily excited.
What?
You know how the saying is that summer bodies are made in winter?
Uh-oh. Ooh.
So for all of us who've done fuck all over winter, now we're like, oh, snap, it's already spring and I still haven't shifted that 5 or 10 kilos.
Yeah, I feel a bit fat myself at the moment, so I've got to do a little bit more work before I'll be happy to show off my body.
Yeah, me too. Sus. I've got to do a lot more work.
Sus. It's hard though, man.
Damn it.
I know.
This is not easy.
V-neck tees are coming back. That's all I do.
Well, we had Law Maisel telling us about what we need to be wearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we should be paying attention.
Making notes.
All right. So,
what are your weekend plans?
What do I have this weekend? I've got a nice dinner on Saturday night, which I've been waiting for a while. That's going to be cool. Tonight, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. I mean, who knows what the weekend may hold? Maybe a little braai. There may be some people. We'll see what goes on. I've got an open a possibility card at this stage.
Hey, now.
Which is the best way to be. All right, I saw this story. I thought we needed to just refer to this. So they arrested this priest who was keeping child porn.
How? Another one?
Listen to this. A New Jersey priest in the U.S. was trying to get revenge on God for losing at games of poker when he collected computerized child pornography at his weekend home in Pennsylvania. So what happened was they arrested this guy. They charged him with owning child porn, right? And he then, how's this for an excuse? This shows you how creative some of these like irrational lunatics are. He goes, I felt like God was attacking me when I lost lots of poker tournaments. So I got revenge on God and collected all this child porn.
Jeez. That doesn't even make sense.
No.
There's no logic behind that thinking at all.
Nope. So the church has removed him from active ministry and he could be defrocked, which of course for a priest is the worst thing ever. Defense attorney Jim Schwetz confirmed revenge was the priest's reason for collecting the porn. Revenge on God. What a story. I mean, we're so stupid. Who does he think is dumb enough to buy that story? Him and Schwetz. His lawyer. What a dumb story, right? These priests are insane.
Completely.
Like, how does he think that was meant to hold up in court?
He must be mentally ill. There's no... I mean, that's just the most stupid excuse I have ever heard for anything. Cray cray.
More than that, I'm surprised he's only received 11 and a half months.
Yeah,
23 and a half months.
I mean, this is clearly a dangerous person because he's collecting child porn. We know what his predilections are. But forget about this idea that... Plus, he's a compulsive gambler. This is not the kind of person you want being your priest.
And a bad liar.
Bad liar, too. And he's dumb. Right.
You're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole.
Right.
If you thought that AIDS was bad,
yeah.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Right.
Until you see the flaming butthole.
Right.
Your butthole will be flaming, and you will not be able to sit down until you have a flame coming out of your butthole. Flame coming out of your butt. That man pulls that penis out of you. A flame is going to come out. And nobody will ever stick a penis in your butthole again because it will be on fire. We'll have a flame coming out of that butt. You women have a flame coming out of your vagina.
Vagina.
You're going to have a flame shooting out of your vagina.
Vagina.
Amen.
Huh? I love the way he says vagina.
Yeah.
How aggressive.
That's great. Jeez. Pastor Manning, for our friend from the U.S.
Our what?
Well, he's got a lot of good material.
He's very colorful.
Yo, I love, you know, there's also the
pastor. He's also a loony priest.
Yeah, completely. But I would go to his sermon just for entertainment value.
Oh, what
just
a great
purely
show.
Entertainment.
How do you keep a straight face?
Well,
what a show.
That can turn into a game. Let's see who can keep a straight face the longest.
Right.
Obama was a Mac Daddy!
Yeah.
That's him.
Obama pimped black women and white women. First time you saw his name on two big old titties.
Oh, you see, I would have lost already.
No, yeah. Doesn't work at all. So do you guys know of the pastor Joel Osteen?
Yeah.
You know, he's written books.
Yes,
and
yeah,
he has
a
lot.
And he's a motivational speaker, stroke pastor.
Did you hear how he's now under fire because of
what
the whole Houston situation? So a lot of people are, even if they don't have a lot, are really extending themselves and they're going out of their way to actually help some of the victims of the floods. And he's actually been like, I don't know, I'm keeping my doors closed. And he has one of these mega churches.
Oh, so he refuses to let in, like, refugees?
Yes, and you'd think, like, he'd open up these doors.
No, I wouldn't think that. I knew this guy was a fraud from day one. And
that's what people are saying now. They're like, why are you surprised?
All these mega church pastors, these guys who you see on that television channel, what channel is it on DSTV? They show these churches.
40,000 of these.
With these disgraceful human beings on it. Just these disgusting, bottom-feeding sacks of shit who prey on the credulous. I do not feel sorry for them when the church members turn on them, which always happens. But I feel I really genuinely feel sorry for the people who go to these congregations that want to be part of something. You know, a lot of people are lazy to look for the answers themselves, and someone will step up and say, I've got all the answers, just follow me and I'll help you. And that is taking advantage of dumb people. Now, you can't hate someone because they don't understand. That's not nice. You don't want to be that person. But you can hate someone who takes advantage of someone who's dumb. And someone like this Joel Osteen, he goes around, he's a snake oil salesman. He's a conscious fraud. He wakes up every morning and he pinches himself and looks in the mirror. He goes, I can't believe I got away with it for another day. And I got money in the bank and I live large and none of these people see the hypocrisy. And I'm going to go do it again today. Yes! No wonder he's motivated. He's pulled the wool over so many people's eyes, he thinks he is God. And then when it comes to the crunch, because this always happens, when it's required of these people that they do something that is genuinely good that does not benefit them, oh, suddenly they've got a thing on, they can't be there, they can't do that, they've got some health condition, the church doors are greased closed, who knows what it might be. There's always something going on. I am not surprised. I thought, if you look at this Joel Osteen with his slick back hair and his shiny suits, he looks like he could, you could fry him in a pan and like Teflon, he wouldn't stick.
Ooh.
What a sack of stinking, smelly, vile shit this man is.
So bless anyone who's actually genuinely doing good, but his excuse is saying that the city didn't ask him to become a shelter.
Sure. Whatever your excuse is, dude, we can see your true colors. Now we know what we're dealing with.
But the memes? If you just want to have a good morning, you can search some of those.
What are they saying about him?
They're just like, they're now making up quotes from Joel Osteen because, you know, he's also a quote him and it's, you know, all motivation inspiring.
Yeah, I got one this morning. Listen to this. You want to hear one?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a picture of him.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And it says, "He spoke to me. God spoke to me in the middle of this unholy hurricane. He came down in the form of a ball of light and filled me with the Holy Spirit. And speaking in the softest of whispers, he said, 'Fuck 'em.'"
Yeah.
That's what you're dealing with, people.
Here's one from Joel that says, "Get the fuck off my art, my ark."
Yeah, exactly.
And another prayer that says, man, "Oh, Heavenly Father, please don't let them ask me for nothing. Amen."
Right. Okay, Mub, should we get into the five things you need to know today?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Marvelous. Well.
Oh, sorry.
I was waiting for that too.
Well, it's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria.
There you go.
Yeah. Everybody knows them. They have the best pizzas, the best pastas, the best salads.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I tell you, there is nothing that will compare. And if you put too much chili on your pizza, you have flames coming out of your butthole. It is the finest, the most incredible, the most terrific,
Hallelujah.
The most tremendous, the most powerful and holy of pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
Hallelujah.
If you want a certain kind of pasta, they actually have a hole.
Ain't
That's
that
how
so?
Holy they are.
Woo. Right. Preach.
Eat in, eat out. Colcacchio's got you. Join them at any Colcacchio pizzeria for casual, elegant dining experience, or grab a takeaway and enjoy Italian-inspired meals in the comfort of your own home. If your home is too comfortable to leave, just give Mio Colcacchio a call for a convenient takeaway or, ding ding, delivery.
Excellent. All right, people. Grace Mugabe was framed. That's it. We're done speaking about this situation. She was framed.
Who told you that?
Zimbabwe, please.
No, it wasn't my Zimbabwe, but it was a member from her, you know, her administration back at home in Zimbabwe, Pindai Dube, saying that Grace has been framed. So that's the last we'll hear on that issue, all right? Mugabe is, of course, accused of assaulting a young South African woman in Sandton. She was granted diplomatic immunity for the incident, causing an outcry from civil society and political parties. And then several opposition parties in Zimbabwe were planning to protest outside the South African embassy in Harare. However, the protests did not transpire. And then after all was said and done, Mugabe said, "No, I am being framed, and it is as simple as that."
Oh, poor you. Who would want to do that to you? You're such a good person.
That's tough.
Oh.
All right. The argument that meat is murder could become a thing of the past thanks to groundbreaking technology that produces real meat from animal cells.
Nice.
Memphis Meats, which is backed by billionaires Bill Gates and Richard Branson, is developing a process that churns out beef, chicken, and duck without the need to raise animals for slaughter.
Hmm.
Not only does this technology safeguard animal welfare, it also provides a solution to the sustainability and human health issues of raising livestock for meat. So how do we feel about that?
Love it.
Essentially, your meat is just going to be grown in a laboratory.
You know what? I love these people like, "Oh no, I wouldn't eat that. I don't know where it's from. It's gross. It was made in a lab." Mm. And I'm like, you don't go and meet the cow that you have your rump steak tonight that you're going to have somewhere. You don't go out to some farm in northern KwaZulu-Natal, meet the cow, get to know it, give it a name, watch it go to the abattoir, make sure that that's okay.
But then what about, because, you know, as someone who doesn't eat meat, I've been fine with others eating it simply because then, you know, animal quantities are monitored and whatnot, you know. What does this mean? So we'll keep all the animals alive and then just coexist with them in the street?
Yeah, I mean, we won't necessarily need so many. So farms won't need to produce so many new calves every year.
That's the ticket,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, there'll be a small tail at the end of this in terms of leftover cows once the demand kicks in, but it's going to take a long time before Memphis Meats is able to produce the amounts that we need.
I like how you use appropriate puns tail. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
I appreciate they're calling it clean meat, and it's apparently causing quite a stir among the business community because there are a number of corporations that are clamoring to invest in this kind of technology.
Okay.
So it is produced by using a small sample of animal cells that then regenerate themselves outside of the animal in a large steel tank, and the resulting product is 100% real meat.
Yep.
Yep.
I would love it. No problem. Nom, nom, nom. Bring
nom,
it on.
Nom, nom.
Hell yeah.
Huh. All
right, what else?
US pop star Madonna has apparently moved to Lisbon so that her 11-year-old son, David Banda, can join in the youth academy at a top football club in Benfica. Apparently, she had been living in a hotel over the last few weeks. She has just purchased a house, which has been confirmed by a weekly publication in Lisbon. And yeah, it's all because David Banda has joined the Benfica Training Center in the Lisbon suburb of a name that I'm not going to pronounce. I never should have tried to take it there. But yeah, Madonna is now in Spain.
I thought she was looking for more olive-skinned...
No, no,
she's in Portugal.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Portugal, yeah. My mistake. Yeah. Yes, Sia, you know, she has been on the prowl, and sure, she can do two things that, you know, kill there two birds go. With one stone. Yeah. She can be there for her son, and then she can be there for other people's sons.
Yeah, she could date.
Yeah.
In fact, she could date David Bunda's friends.
He's 11, Gareth.
But so it's going that, to reach that
would be
point.
Very inappropriate.
That's the age she dates.
No.
Yes.
Gareth, that would yes. be that would be a sexual offense.
Oh. Really?
Oh, right. That little
is it
thing.
Is it an offense if Madonna does it?
If he's 11 years old, it's definitely problematic.
Da-da-na-na. Come on, hey. Madonna. Come on, take it away. What's wrong with our internet? Like in Lisbon.
Woo!
I'll have my son's best friend. Right, come on. I'm in Lisbon. Lock your sons up.
Woo!
Da-na-na. All right, thank you. That's all enough right. of Madonna. Yeah. What else have we got?
So yesterday we were talking about the student from the Walter Sisulu University who had that 40 million rand accidentally end up in her account. Well, a whole bunch of legal experts have now been asked questions by tons of journalists so that everybody can be in the know where, you know, as far as the law is concerned. If you, Sia, you need to listen to this. If you knowingly spend money that was mistakenly deposited into your account, you are committing a crime. That's according to Wits law professor Stephen Tucson, who says that spending money that does not belong to you is permanently depriving the owner of the money of their property, and that constitutes theft. This could Ooh. Result in a criminal charge. We all know that this young lady is being sued at this point, right? Tucson said that the second consequence for the student could be that the bank involved or the university would open a civil case against her to try and get the money back. The basis of this action is called unjustified enrichment, and it means that someone got paid money where there was no legal reason for them to get paid, and the money can be recovered by a court action. So, Sia, you would definitely be committing a crime, is the bottom line.
Is it funny to you, like, now these pictures of her are coming out? Like, she's a real dumbass.
Apparently, she's apparently there's a parody Twitter account, or people are trying to figure out whether it really is her or whether it's a parody account. But yeah, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, because I saw something of like a Sibongile Mani, and she says, "No, this is my story," and she wrote something up, but I don't know whether to believe that's really her Twitter account. Or
oh,
not.
It's her. Trust me, it's her.
All right, those are the things you need to know.
Thank you, Mubs.
More news headlines after 7.
Very good. We'll check in with someone later on called Federica Marchesini.
Oof.
Yes, she is an Italian, but she's lived in Cape Town for 16 years. She's written a book called Afritalian.
Mm. She says it's like the 2017 South African version of Bridget Jones's Diary. So
exactly.
Let's see. And we also have the Burning Platform.
Oh,
Yes, that's correct. After 7 o'clock this morning, Justice Malala returns at the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's.
That's fantastic. I mean, there was a lot that went down in Parliament yesterday, which I was going to get into after 7, but Justice can do that for us.
Yes. We cover a lot of things. That's in the Burning Platform coming up next. And speaking of Parliament, we'll look at that a little bit later on as well. And Louise Carver's going to pop by. It's a Friday. We're in a good mood. It's Spring Day. Let's turn our attention right now to... Auntie's not there? Oh, okay. Jeez.
I will.
Amanda just walked in. She's like, no. That's not going to happen.
Very stern no at that.
Let's see if I can find you this clip.
It's the leather jacket. I'm telling you. This is what happens when she's out attending divorce parties now.
Is this the part where Julius walked out? Because you know that EFF did another walkout yesterday.
They walked out again.
Yeah.
And this is sort of the big story from yesterday. Duduzane's father. Is what they called him.
Yeah.
And Edward's father.
But it's not fun when... look, I use the word fun for Parliament. Heaven forbid it should be the case. But it's not fun anymore when we know that the EFF is going to walk out. Because they threatened to... I think it was on Wednesday. Yeah. They said they were going to walk out of Parliament. So we expect these things now. It's just you never know how low they go. So now even bringing up the Duduzane's father thing again, and they get reprimanded for it, and they go, no, but in our culture, you refer to someone, it's a sign of respect to refer to them as so-and-so's father.
And they're just playing mind games.
But come on. And then also, you know, you have Balega who says, no, you can't call people this. You are not allowed to refer to people in informal terms like this. You must call him the Honorable President. And then later on, she calls some woman from the ANC Ma whoever. And you're like, but you called her Ma something. Yeah. Now, that's also an informal way of addressing someone. So make up your mind, Balega.
Yeah.
She's just so keen to cover for the Prez because they're so embarrassed. The ANC don't know what to do. They are so embarrassed. In the words of the guy from... Guardians of the Galaxy. What's his name?
Groot.
No, the other one. The big guy. Drax. You know Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, Mubs? Of course, you've watched it so many times.
I have watched the first one, not the second. But carry on.
You know who I'm talking about. He's that big guy, the bald one.
Oof.
Okay. Come on, did you have any idea who I'm talking about?
No, I'm trying to figure it out here. Right,
well.
Drat, eh?
Drax. Come on. All right, let's get to Anthea. We'll get to that later. We're wasting Anthea's time, and she's a very busy woman. She's got lots to tell us this morning. It is Friday. Let's find out from Anthea Gardner what's going on with your money. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
So, what's on your mind this morning?
I would say it's always nice to finish the month on a positive note. So yesterday, the All Share was up 0.65%, decent volume, $1.9 billion traded, and that gives us a comfortable 2.3% gain for the month. So very nice. Even the Rand continued to trade kind of fairly strong at 13.01 to the dollar. It's 16.74 to the pound and 15.49 to the euro. I think if this rand holds strong for a bit longer, I really don't see why the MPC shouldn't give us another rate cut when they meet in 2.5 weeks. And I must say I'm being a bit cheeky because I know that some of them listen to this program. Mm. And then a couple of companies put out trading and operational updates yesterday. Probably the most important one for us was Steinhoff. They released their 9-month numbers because they're listed in Frankfurt. They now have to report every quarter, whereas local companies only report twice a year. Key features, organic revenue growth, which excludes acquisitions, was up 8% in euros. European revenue, very disappointing. It only grew 1%. Most of the divisions performed negatively. But it was saved, in inverted commas, by Pepco Europe, which was up 52%.
Sure.
I heard Christo Visser say yesterday that if you walked into a Pep store in Poland, it would be exactly like a South African Pep store, but on steroids. So now I'm almost dying to do a trip to Poland to go and see this.
Wow.
And then the African business, basically this is the retail business Star that is going to be spun out later this month, saw revenue up 7%. And again, the driver in this region, Pepco. It's quite incredible, actually. It's a really good business.
Wow.
I mean, sorry?
No, wow is all I'm saying. That's incredible. Oh. Who would have known?
Well, kind of that's where it started, though, isn't it? So nice to see that that's where it's carrying on, this right. great behemoth Steinhoff. And then it's really been pretty much a slow grind higher for these Steinhoff shares this week. I mean, I'm guessing you would have bought on Monday around 60 Rand a share. It touched 63 yesterday, so you're up about 5%. Take our trading costs, call it 4%. Am I about right?
Sure.
You should. So, I mean, I think it's still got a way to go before we start taking profits. So hold on to those Steinhoff shares a bit longer.
Okay.
And then Santam, which is the country's largest general insurer, released their six-month trading update yesterday. And the big story here is that they're calling the Cape Town storm and Meisner fires the worst catastrophe event in South African insurance history. And I think that should be catastrophic event. Anyway.
Yeah. It was a horrible event, though, and it did cost the insurance companies a monstrous amount of money.
So they're expecting damages to be in the region of 3 billion rand. Santam's clients have already submitted claims totaling 800 million rand. So, yep, fairly big disaster. So the 800 million rand actually has a net impact for Santam of 234 million rand on the group's earnings to June. So the good news is they really have reserved fully for the claims. And the bad news is that, of course, it's going to impact their underwriting margins, which fell 4.2%. And this is despite an increase of 12% in gross written premiums. I mean, so if you exclude the storm and the fire, the underwriting margin would have remained unchanged at 6.4%. So, and I know these seem like negligible changes, but actually this has had a negative 6% impact on headline earnings per share, and that's because of the storm and the fires. So quite a huge thing, actually.
You don't think about it, but when these things happen, it ends up hitting everybody, because the insurance companies then obviously have to up their premiums, or they have to make that money somewhere else. You know, we kind of think of insurance as a great business to be in, because often there are no claims. And there will be months and months and months where nothing happens. And then suddenly it happens and it's hugely expensive.
That's right. It's so nice when they're just taking in our premiums and banking them, right?
Sure.
Well, nice for them anyway. Yeah. And then global markets look positive this morning. We're expecting U.S. non-farm payrolls to be pretty good. We had ADP employment numbers yesterday, which is basically the private sector in the U.S., and they created 237,000 jobs. Versus the expectation of 201,000. So, yeah, fingers crossed for another positive day.
The American job market, let's just talk about that for a second. Can Trump start claiming that it's his administration yet, or is this still a spillover from Obama?
If he wants it, we'll give it to him, because when things turn, we'll blame him.
Yeah, that's probably true. So let him take credit while he can, right?
Billions and billions and billions.
Thank you very much, Anthea.
Of jobs. Thanks, have a good weekend.
Of jabs. Thank you very much, Anthea Gardner, and a look at your money. And here's what I was trying to tell you about billions Drax, Mubs.
That's not Drax, that's Trump.
When Balegambete was going on yesterday in Parliament, and I'll find you that clip just now, I could not believe how the ANC members were behaving in their rows in the seats in Parliament. Just, they seem to be really proud of a guy who's just stealing from the till in front of them. They don't seem to realize they're also losing. Don't they realize what kind of a country their children and grandchildren are going to grow up in if this guy steals everything from under us? Do they not realize that?
I don't think that's their immediate concern.
See, you just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
All right. Thank you, Drax. That's Drax.
Ah.
Yes. All right. Sia, it's time for you to inspire us and motivate us and give us some wisdom. It's early in the morning on a Friday, the 1st of September. It's spring day. Take it away.
Well, with a little spring in my step, I'll deliver this piece of news to you.
Yes.
A Houston family is seeing the other side of what is happening currently with the devastation there.
Whitney Houston's family?
No. Oh. A family from Houston, the actual city, Whitney Houston. Exactly. So I think this is so, so sweet, but I cringe for this daughter as well. So the Anassi family were moving to New York to help their youngest daughter settle into university at the new school. She's beginning her graduate program there. And when actually their flight back home coincided with a tropical storm Harvey. So they were like, actually, no, we can't go back home right now. So listen, baby girl, we have to stay with you. So imagine being like this girl in your early 20s and now your family has to room with you at university.
Oh, no.
You're absolutely cringing, but the parents are loving this.
Oh, no.
They're just like, honey, there's nothing you can do about us. They're rooming with her. And the father, Enoch, is a university professor himself. So he was like, actually, don't worry. You get to spend more time with your daddy, and plus I'll help teach you while I'm here.
Nice.
So the father actually started attending classes with her daughter Karubo, but went as far as, yo, daddy, why did you have to do this? Started taking selfies in class because he's so proud of his daughter being this far in university. And also now commenting on the syllabus as well. She sat in on different courses, was texting the entire family saying, listen, Houston is a mess right now, but at least we're safe. And look, we're chilling with the daughter right now. You went as far as also now starting to quiz the daughter in class, naming and shaming her in lectures.
Okay, now this is getting embarrassing. No, you see, this is where it's not funny anymore.
No, shame. You think about the fact that he's just like seeing the other side of this and just like, okay, we'll chill here. But yeah, there is actually now some more people who are saying this is exactly the same case as well. You know, parents who are now meant to leave, go back to Houston, but are stuck with their parents. You think about it, it's embarrassing. It's cringeworthy for the kids. But for the parents, they're just like, okay, for now, we'll enjoy it.
Spend some time with mommy and daddy.
Karuba has said that it's been absolutely humiliating, but she's grateful that her parents are safe and they are with her. So they got to have some family days out. And for now, the family don't have a specific return date to Houston, but she says, you know what, she'll bear with them. And they're enjoying their time in New York City in the meantime. And on the teacher who now had her class disrupted by the new father who's now stepping in as the professor as well, she says that she actually loved having the father there because he was very attentive, although taking pictures and the like in class were not exactly the best.
Oh no, did he do that? Are you kidding?
Oh, shame. Oh, yeah. I think this is so, so sweet.
Shame. You don't want your parents embarrassing you everywhere you go, right?
No, not
everywhere you go.
Because I was thinking about, you know, spring day was our day in primary school when our parents and family members were encouraged to come to school and we'd all plant together. And I always dreaded the day because my parents would come, then they'd start making, you know, friends with other parents. I'm just like, no, get away from here.
But your dad is so sweet.
No, absolutely not.
Listen, it doesn't matter how nice your parents are, and in retrospect we always go, oh well, you know, my parents were only trying to do the right thing and they meant well.
Yeah,
but they're embarrassing to you as a kid. Doesn't matter what they do, they're your parents, so they embarrass you. They could be the most perfect people in the world. They could be cool even, right?
But some things, yeah, they just don't go together. And having your dad now room with you in your dorm, no bueno.
All right. What else do we need? What else do we need to do? What else do you want to know? We've got Justice Malala coming up with a burning platform.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been listening to a certain song. Maybe I should play this for you. That I really like. And I didn't think I would like one of her songs because mostly she's terrible.
Oh.
But listen to this. I love this. Miley Cyrus. Don't you like this song? Huh? Sweet.
I never came to the beach or stood by the ocean. I sat by the shore under the sun with my feet in the sand, but you brought me here, and I'm happy that you did, 'cause now I'm as free.
This is CliffCentral.com.